Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Economy of Cities is a work of urban economic theory by Jane Jacobs, first published in 1969. It argues against the conventional view that cities simply grow after agriculture and rural surplus have already been established. Instead, Jacobs presents cities as the primary generators of economic development, innovation, and eventually stronger rural economies. The book is not a technical economics text in the narrow academic sense. It is a historical and analytical argument built from observation, examples, and cross-city comparison. Its purpose is to explain why some settlements become dynamic centers of growth while others remain stagnant, and to show that urban diversity, trade, and local production are central to development. The book became influential because it challenged standard assumptions in economics and planning and offered a city-centered model of how new work, new industries, and new prosperity emerge. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, cities as the starting point of economic development. Jacobs's most fundamental claim is that cities do not arise as a passive result of rural prosperity. She reverses the usual sequence and argues that cities are the initial engines that make broader economic development possible. In her view, a true city is not just a dense settlement, but a place that generates its own growth through local activity. This matters because it shifts attention away from agriculture as the original source of wealth and toward urban exchange, specialization, and invention as the conditions that make productive economies possible. The argument is deliberately provocative. If cities are the source of economic momentum, then rural systems depend on urban systems more than the reverse. That idea helps explain why the book is so important in urban studies. It does not simply describe how cities work. It challenges the basic story economists often tell about civilization and development. Jacobs uses this reversal to build an alternative framework in which urban vitality is the precondition for lasting economic complexity. Secondly, import replacement as the main mechanism of urban growth. One of the book's most influential ideas is import replacement, the process by which a city begins producing goods and services that it once brought in from elsewhere. Jacobs treats this as the central mechanism of growth because it creates new local firms, skills, and supply chains. A city that replaces imports does more than save money or improve efficiency. It deepens its own productive capacity and creates a base for further experimentation. Once an item is made locally, related activities often follow, and the city becomes more capable of supporting additional kinds of work. This produces a cumulative process rather than a one-time improvement. The logic also explains why growth is uneven. Cities advance when they keep finding new things to produce for themselves, while stagnant cities remain dependent on outside sources. Jacobs connects this mechanism to expansion over time, showing how local production can later become exportable, which then gives other places new opportunities to replace imports. Her model is therefore dynamic and recursive, not static. Thirdly, urban diversity and fragmented industries as sources of innovation. Jacobs argues that economic creativity comes from diversity rather than from uniform scale. She is skeptical of cities dominated by a single major industry because such places often become brittle, repetitive, and vulnerable to decline. By contrast, a city with many small and varied producers creates more chances for new combinations of work, ideas, and technical skills. This is where her notion of valuable inefficiencies becomes important. What looks inefficient from a narrow planning perspective may actually be productive because fragmentation leaves room for experimentation and unintended connections. The book repeatedly suggests that innovation often emerges from modest, dispersed activity rather than from centralized control. This is one reason Jacobs remains distinctive among urban thinkers. She treats disorder, overlap, and small-scale specialization as positive economic features when they generate new uses. The resulting picture of the city is ecological rather than mechanical. A healthy city is not perfectly streamlined. It is complex enough to allow different economic forms to meet, copy, adapt, and transform one another into new kinds of work. Fourthly, new work and economically creative breakaways. The book also explains development as a process of addition. New activity grows out of existing activity, then becomes its own economic branch. Jacobs summarizes this with a schematic logic often described as D plus A, leading to more development, meaning that an existing economy gains a new activity and then generates further expansion. The important point is that development is not treated as a single breakthrough or a top-down plan. It is a chain of breakaways where one occupation, firm, or method gives rise to another. Jacobs calls these economically creative breakaways because they expand the range of what a city can do. This concept helps explain why cities can generate continuous change rather than simply larger versions of the same economy. It also clarifies why new work matters more than mere accumulation. Growth is healthy when it broadens the local economy, creates new relationships among producers, and gives rise to further novelty. The book uses this framework to describe development as an internally generated process rooted in practical interaction rather than abstract efficiency alone. Lastly, a critique of conventional planning and economic assumptions beyond its economic thesis. The Economy of Cities is a critique of standard assumptions in both planning and economics. Jacobs resists the idea that expert design, industrial concentration, or rural origin stories can fully explain development. She believes that many planners and economists misunderstand how cities actually function because they focus on ideal order rather than lived complexity. Her approach values observation of real urban behavior, trade patterns, and productive diversity over tidy theory. That makes the book especially significant as a methodological challenge. It asks readers to see cities as evolving systems, not as machines to be optimized from above. The argument also has policy implications. If urban growth depends on diversity, local production, and import replacement, then public policy should protect conditions that allow small enterprises and varied activity to emerge. The book is therefore not just descriptive. It is a critique of the intellectual habits that make urban development seem simpler than it is. This critical stance is a major reason the book still stands apart from conventional urban economics. In conclusion, The Economy of Cities should be read by urban planners, economists, policymakers, historians, and general readers who want a serious challenge to standard ideas about development. It is especially useful for anyone interested in how cities generate innovation, why some regions stagnate, and what kinds of urban conditions support long-term economic vitality. The book offers intellectual value because it forces readers to reconsider familiar assumptions about agriculture, industrial scale, and the role of planning. Its practical value lies in its attention to local production, diversity, and the growth of new work through import replacement. Compared with many books in urban economics, it stands out for its originality and its refusal to treat cities as secondary to rural life. Jacobs combines historical argument with a powerful structural idea. Cities are not just places where development appears, but places where development begins. That makes the book more than a theory of urban growth. It is a reframing of economic causation itself, and that is why it remains distinctive within its field. If you would like to support Jane Jacobs, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.